Our first reading comes to us from Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in the first verse. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out, and I say, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear, says to the city of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. Our second reading comes to us from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole of Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with the water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Of course, that little pfft in there was added because I can't read, apparently. Would you please pray with me? Holy Spirit, may we open up our posture, our bodies, to receive you. May we open not just our bodies, but may we open our hearts. Not just our minds, but our hearts. That you might enter in and we might more fully become yours. Oh God, in this moment, may we show up expecting to hear something from you. God, you know how broken and sinful that I am. But I know that you can use me if you choose to convey your perfect word to your people. And so I ask that you would lay me aside and speak to each of us in the way that we need to hear you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, many of you know that I grew up out in the country. And out where I grew up, people had pretty long driveways, still do. In fact, they're so long that it's not really economical to pave them. They're mostly gravel driveways. My dad's driveway in particular is an extremely long driveway. Think of whatever it is that you were thinking, envisioning driveway-wise, and it's probably about four times as long. It's a very long driveway. It goes back into the woods, up hills, around curves, and there is a creek. The Piedmont region version of a creek, not the Tidewater version of a creek. But if there's this creek that meanders back and forth under the driveway, I can't remember, 4 or 5 times. And so there are these pipes that are underneath of the driveway that allow the water to pass through and continue down the creek, continue on through the driveway. Now, it's a lot of work, actually, to maintain a driveway like this. Fortunately, my dad has a tractor, a very large tractor, and he has to work on this drive, I don't know, 3 or 4 times a year. When it rains, the driveway is so covered over by the canopy of the trees that it takes a long time for the driveway to dry out, if it ever does. During a particularly rainy season, it gets very muddy. Potholes form. The gravel and the dirt start to flow over into the ditches, and the ditches fill up. And then the water that would be going in the ditches stays in the driveway, and then it digs these ruts into the driveway. And the pipes that go underneath the driveway to allow the creek to pass through, they clog with leaves and sticks and mud. And so it's a lot of work to maintain this. There's the digging up of the ditches and the leveling out of the hills and making sure. And see, my dad, he drove, he made the roads in Vietnam that allowed the troops to go closer to the front lines. So he's an expert on making roads. And so he taught me that when you're creating a driveway, you have the highest point in your driveway be in the middle of the driveway and then sort of round it off on the sides where the tires go so that the water will flow off of the middle down into the ditches. And so that's a lot of work to move that dirt around and to do it all the way down the driveway. There were about 2 occasions that I can remember when we had to replace a pipe underneath the creek. We didn't have the heavy machinery to do that, so we had to do it by hand. We dug 12 feet across, thereabouts, and about 3 feet down to dig up the old pipe and to put in a new one, and then to cover it back over again. And I remember how sore my arms and back got. The blisters that I had on my hands, it was back-breaking work. Our scripture passage from today, the Mark passage, refers back to a section of the Isaiah passage, but it talks about straightening the road, leveling the mountain. Seems like a very peculiar thing to say, but back during biblical times, when the king was coming to town, that's exactly what the people would do. They would fix the roads. If you were in a larger city or really a affluent village, they would have, you know, sort of cobblestone streets. But between those villages and cities, there were roads that weren't the best maintained. They would straighten things out, fill the potholes, level out the hills, all the things that it talks about in this passage. And you can imagine, well, they didn't have any heavy machinery. They had to do all of it by hand. So it was this great effort to prepare the way for the Lord. In the Mark passage, it says, John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He is the one who prepares the way for Jesus by proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Repentance is not a very popular word in this day and age. Maybe it's never been. We claim to believe in Jesus, to believe in forgiveness, to believe in grace. We believe in this in a sort of general philosophical sense. But when we get down into the nitty-gritty of everyday life, we live as if we don't need a Savior because we don't have anything we need to be forgiven of. Sure, we can point out the shortcomings and the failings of others. We're slow and reluctant to offer grace if we're honest with ourselves. That's the way this things go in this cancel culture that we're living in. Someone gets one thing wrong, and we define that person by that one sin and write them off. We cancel them. How different our world would be if we all lived a bit more humbly, admitting that we have things we need to repent of, things that we need to be forgiven for, and move forward to live and love as Christ leads us. Friends, if we have nothing to repent of, we don't need Jesus. But we do have things that we need to be forgiven of. And I want to invite you, if this is not a regular part of your discipleship, of your spiritual disciplines, of the ways that you stay connected with God, I want to invite you to be very intentional about putting in the hard work of finding the quiet, finding the stillness, finding a place, a way where you can talk with God and be honest about who you are and what you have said and what you have done. And when we do that, it's painful work. It's painful work to let those wounds and those flaws breathe. But when we do that, we prepare the way for Christ to enter our hearts. Now, there are those of us who are really good at beating ourselves up and saying, I have all of these things that I have done wrong, all of these things that I didn't say quite the right way, all these places where I didn't do enough. And we're really good at beating ourselves up for those things. We beat ourselves up so much, we become our own savior. Only by being perfect, trying to be perfect, can we be saved. We don't make room. We don't prepare the way for Jesus to enter in so that we might know the forgiving love of God and be made whole. And so, friends, whatever end of the spectrum you reside in, or anywhere in between, I want to invite you once again to allow yourself and God the space to remember that you are a sinner. That's not popular to say, is it? To remember that you are a sinner and that you do need to be forgiven. You do need a Savior. And if we're willing to do that hard work, that painful, heartbreaking work, we allow God the space to make us whole and to bring us peace. It's not something that we can do just one time, but it's work that we have to do over and over again. Friends, prepare the way for the Lord. Jesus is coming. Amen.